Good morning, Oregon. Thanks again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Every weekday, this podcast brings you another episode from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column, which I write. Full details of that are at offbeatoregon.com. Hope you'll check it out when you can. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the persistent rumors that are actually fairly well-founded that Sir Francis Drake may have spent a summer in Whale Cove rather than in San Francisco Bay, that in fact the famous explorers Nova Albion, in which the Golden Hind stopped for repairs and provisions in 1597, is in Oregon, not Northern California. Which would mean, of course, that Sir Francis Drake, quote-unquote, discovered Oregon. The story was first published on June 8th, 2009, quite some time ago. Going to read it to you now. Here we go. A British factory manager turned historian says Oregon probably has another name, an older name, Nova Albion. That's the name Drake gave to the little cove he spent the summer of 1579 in, repairing and provisioning his ship, the Golden Hind, for his subsequent famous trip around the world, back home to Britain via the Pacific and Indian Oceans. Now, Drake's official records say that Nova Albion was much farther south, near San Francisco, and several bays and inlets down there claim the distinction for themselves. But Bob Ward is convinced they're wrong. Here's what he says happened. Ward thinks Drake was on a secret mission to find a usable Northwest Passage through northern Canada. If this was the case, Drake would naturally have sailed as far north as he could until he found something that looked like a Northwest Passage. Something like, for instance, the Strait of Juan de Fuca. But having found it at the wrong time of year to use it, Drake did not try to enter it. Or perhaps something he heard from the Native American tribes up in what is now British Columbia made him think the better of it. In any case, Ward says, the Golden Hind needed some repairs and maybe some more provisions, so Drake sailed south along the coast, looking for a good place to spend a few months, and ended up in a cozy little cove that Drake dubbed Nova Albion, after the Latin name for Britain. From this spot, he then set out across the Pacific Ocean for his famous trip around the world. When he returned, Ward suggests, Drake conspired with Queen Elizabeth to lie about the location so that the Spanish wouldn't know how close he was to finding that Northwest Passage. It is known that his sailors were sworn to secrecy about the entire voyage. The general story of this adventure, sailing north, turning around, finding a cove, that isn't in dispute. Nor is Drake's secret mission to find the Northwest Passage a controversial concept. It's the location. Most of the records from this time have Drake sailing north to around Cape Arago, then turning around and setting up his Nova Albion at Campbell Cove or Drake's Bay near Bodega Bay. Needless to say, the Campbell Cove, Drake's Bay folks were not pleased by this new and competing theory. Quote, "He's working on a fantasy," scoffed a former president of the Drake Navigators Guild in California. Less understandable was the reaction of a former director of the Oregon Historical Society, who not only dismissed the theory, but publicly speculated that Ward had a personal financial interest in redirecting Drake's story to Whale Cove, an insinuation that I haven't been able to find any evidence for. Maybe he knows something I don't. Subsequently, though, a Canadian, R. Samuel Balfe, produced a third theory in which Nova Albion ends up being Comox Bay on Vancouver Island. Funny how everybody is rooting for the home team here. None of these three sites has yet yielded definitive proof, however. A plaque was found at the California site, but it turned out to be a forgery. Actually, it turned out to be a practical joke gone horribly wrong. This professor's friends were trying to prank him because he had this passionate enthusiasm for the Bodega Bay site, so they planted this artifact there, and he made such a big to-do about finding it that they didn't have the heart to pull the rug out from under him. It stood as scientific evidence for some time before it was finally debunked. But back to our story. A very old English shilling coin was found near the Oregon site, but it wasn't buried on the beach. It had apparently been traded to Native Americans, and this could just as easily have been done by a Spanish explorer as an English one. The two countries were busily pillaging one another's ships and settlements at the time. Ward has found other evidence, but it's all similarly circumstantial. A sword here, a couple cutlasses there, possible ballast rocks in the bay, that kind of thing. So despite the vigorous protests by the proponents of each of these candidates, the true location of Nova Albion remains a delicious mystery. But if either Balfe or Ward is right, it was Drake, not Captain James Cook, who, quote, discovered what is now Canada. And in either case, there's a strong possibility that Drake was the first European to set foot on Oregon soil. That's the end of this story, but I do have one other observation to contribute to this debate. It's presented on the website as an afterword. It's simply this. Sailing a square-rigged ship south along the northwest coast is a stone-cold bugger. The prevailing winds blow out of the southwest. That changes from time to time. Most square riggers could make no progress upwind. Even the best ones could make not much. Now, I'm not a knowledgeable enough sailor to tell you whether the Golden Hind could make progress upwind or not, but I do know it would have been no fun, and they would have spent quite a lot of time waiting for fair winds and not getting them. I'm not sure it's very likely that Drake would have sailed more than a few dozen miles south in such conditions, since he really didn't have to. So to me, the Comox Bay site seems the more likely candidate. Or perhaps it's another small bay that hasn't yet come to anyone's attention. But as with so many such things, we probably just will never know. That's it for today's episode. And if you're listening for the first time, want some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central site at offbeatoregon.com. The website is also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include back issues of the Eugene Register Guard and Salem Statesman Journal, and also an entry in a Moon Handbook of Oregon, authored by Elizabeth Morris. Our theme music is a track by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. The podcast you're listening to is covered under Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, ping me at @offbeatoregon. That's it for today. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the Dee River in Lincoln City, which is, from time to time, depending on the tides, the shortest river in the world, and has sort of an ongoing good-natured, well, I think it's good-natured, feud going on with the Roe River in Montana over that title. It's kind of a fun little story, and I'll have it for you after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the meantime, go fill up the rest of your Tuesday with good stuff. Bye now.